And we're live on the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. I'm Pete D. Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Frank James Berry.
And this is the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast. For those of you who never listened to us before, we usually talk about football, but somehow we get sidetracked along topical tangents, societal issues, and back and forth banter.
A lot of stuff about life, you know?
Needless to say, you can like us on the iTunes Music Store, Google Play. You can listen to us on Spreaker.
Hey, you said it right. High five, buddy. High five.
It's only episode number 29.
We've been doing this since
SoundCloud and wherever else random internet content lives. This week's show is unofficially sponsored by Wendy's for giving us coupons last week. Hey, shout out to Wendy's.
Wendy's, the greatest ice cream ever, since Frosty's, and Dickie's Barbecue, because if you go to Dickie's and get food, they have an ice cream machine in there that's free.
Speaking of which, I do have a Dickie's coupon for my birthday.
So if you ain't going to use that, you can hand that over.
Definitely going to use that.
I mean, I bought the future tickets. That's the least you could do.
I do believe I'm driving, so
yeah, but I bought the tickets before they sold out.
I'm driving?
I live like down the street from the Forum. And it's in June.
So you're really going to try to punk me for my birthday coupon?
No.
You need to think about your life decisions.
I thought
we were talking about my life decisions, and you're over here trying to punk a man for his free chicken sandwich from his birthday.
I just had to see how much of a broken human
look at yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror right now. Look at your reflection in your glasses right now.
I look pretty good, actually. But I just had to make sure, like, are you broken, Pete? Is this a gimmick like broken Matt Hardy? Like broken Jeff Hardy? Are you broken Pete right now, or are you regular Pete?
All right, so let's move on from another blasphemous Barry tangent of the day. Getting off to an early start.
Sponsored by All Things Ice Cream, because I'm fat and I like dairy products.
And Ho Chinese.
Always.
So, Kenneth, let's jump right into it. Draft is over, concluded. I know we talked a lot about the first round of last week. So, let's dive into the other six rounds. Who was the winner of the entire NFL draft, all 3 days?
I got to go Cleveland, just because I felt like they got good players to fill out roles all the way through.
We've been saying that.
The Colts.
Seems like Jacksonville or Cleveland has been winning the draft the past three seasons.
Well, you should have. That's terrible. Tennessee, too.
Which goes on to saying
Ravens. The Ravens were my actually consensus pick.
Which actually goes into my thing. Are NFL draft grades the worst thing in sports journalism?
Is it sports journalism?
That's what I'm asking you.
Just being a pundit.
I mean, I write draft grades, so if you want, we could square up.
I mean, I think pre-draft grades are pretty stupid. So if you write pre-draft grades, we definitely got to square up.
What do you mean pre-draft grades?
Pre-draft grades. Like, if you get this player, it's an A-plus pick.
Okay, I don't do that. I do that after the fact.
So you're a pontificator. Congratulations.
And you learned a new word, but still didn't get a haircut.
What'd you just say?
Anyways, let's move on. My winner...
hairline right
my
now.
My winner of the draft, it was the Los Angeles Chargers.
Quick question. Did someone, like, measure your hair? Did someone, like, line you up with an
Anyways... abacus? Anyways, like I was saying, back on topic.
All right.
Chargers, I feel like, won the draft. They addressed their offensive needs by getting a receiver, and they took two really good borderline first round talent offensive linemen meanwhile their Los Angeles counterpart, the Los Angeles Rams, took zero. And guess what? The Rams actually picked above the Chargers, so they really could have ended up with a good class too.
And they got a weaker wide receiver in Cooper Kupp or Michael Cooper? I think it was Cooper Kupp.
And they took a tight end from nowhere.
Who does the same thing as Tyler Higbee.
So, shout out to you Rams fans for having another mediocre season.
It's going to be worse, because then, like, you already made Robin Quinn an outside linebacker. You needed another linebacker, and you didn't really get one. Ouch.
All right, Kenneth, who was the biggest loser?
Well, as I said, my winner, I'd say the Ravens, because they got future starters at literally every position of their defense, and some good value picks on offense. Loser, I would have to say Buffalo.
Why Buffalo?
Because right after the draft, they fired their GM, which was pretty stupid. And then you declined Sammy Watkins' fifth-year option, which will actually cost you more money if he has a great year. Or if he doesn't.
Or he just bounces.
Or he bounces and goes to Oakland. You know? Because imagine him and Amari Cooper on the same team. Because we know Crabtree has about 2 years left. But aside from that, they went defense again. They got some good... They got Micah Hyde, the safety slash corner slot guy out of...
Green Bay.
Out of Green Bay, which was good. They got some safeties, which was good. But if I look at the Jets draft compared to what the Bills did, and I'm just like, how are you going to match them offensively? I mean, they got Zay Jones. They got some good early picks. You know, Zay Jones, he was perfect for what that offense needs because you need to take pressure off Sammy. But I just don't see why. I mean, you traded back when you probably could have gotten an elite player. You probably could have gotten Hassan Riddick. They could have gotten Hassan Riddick. They could have gotten an elite player at the spot that they were at. They could have. They could have got O.J. Howard, who fell all the way to 19,
like, which was stunning.
Stunning. That's not. That's a video game offense now. Like, along with the Steelers, don't get me started on them. They have like 7 wide receivers now, but. The Bills
and Martavis Bryant is coming back.
Oh yeah, Sammy Coates was Martavis Bryant's tweet. He was like, "Somebody losing their job looks like it's Sammy Coates."
He right didn't tag him.
He tagged him on Twitter.
He did not tag him.
He deleted it, bro.
He
said, "I'm not losing my job," because he has video of him running a 4.27 on grass, and he's like, "I'm not losing my job." He coming for Sammy Coates, and that's after the Steelers drafted Juju Smith-Schuster out of USC in the second round, which I predicted. He'd go in the second round.
Wait, but, wasn't Sammy Coates like a second round pick like 2 years ago?
Yeah, he ran a 4.38 out of Auburn. He was either a second or a third. I think he was a third. But either way, high draft pick, and he was kind of a bust in terms of production. But you have him, you have
Eli Rogers. He gets open, he just can't catch. And he had a broken fingers last year, so I guess they gave him a pass. At least Darius Hayward. He cost me some fantasy games.
Darius Hayward Bay had a...
Darius Hayward Bay is better than him.
Darius Hayward Bay.
That's how you know you're trash.
Has 4.3 speed and also has small hands, but almost had 1,000 yards for the Raiders. So anyway, that's why the Bills are the worst pick. They didn't do enough to really revamp their offensive line. They didn't do enough to revamp their defense.
See, I think that's the thing with this whole draft.
Who did they replace at corner, though?
This whole thing in the draft is just like, there wasn't enough offensive line talent to go around.
No,
and
dude, Forrest Lamp went in the second round. Like, exactly. Dan Feeney, too. Like, those guys slipped in the draft.
Yeah.
So, the fact that the Bills traded back, what were you doing with all those picks?
But that's what I'm saying. Is that's the point that I was making. There wasn't enough talent to go around. And for some reason, people kept thinking, oh, well, we'll just wait till the next time come around. Yeah. And it was just like, it only takes one team to take your guy.
Dallas at least said, you know what? We're going to get Taco Charlton because he has a high grade. And yeah, I don't really like the fact that he ran a 4.8/4.9. But they got the corner out of Colorado. He was a steal. Not Witherspoon. But the other one.
Oh, Awuzie?
Yeah. They got a steal in that guy. They got steals at certain positions. They even drafted Cole Beasley number 2 and Ryan Switzer. So they got guys to revamp and recharge. And guess what? The Cowboys were one of the best teams in the league. They have the right to, like, do that and make certain picks. And they have Jalen Smith. And if that works out, you have to rethink that whole draft. For them when they got Ezekiel Elliott and Jalen Smith in the first 2 rounds. That might be one of the greatest drafts ever. So you look at Buffalo, who doesn't have the cachet to do that, and then they take another quarterback in the draft, which confused me, and I'm just like, you already have Tyrod Taylor. You have Cardale Jones. And then you bring in another quarterback. It's just kind of confusing in the later rounds, and I'm just like, why? What Buffalo is just a waste.
Green Bay has infamously said you always take a quarterback because you never know how they're going to develop. And if they do develop, you have an extra asset.
That's Green Bay. They really don't want Tyrod Taylor, who could start for most teams in the league.
So let's not spend too much time on this because there's the whole internet and blogosphere to read up on your draft grades. Let's move on to the rapid fire segment, which it feels like we haven't done in a minute.
Yeah, other than, you know, rapidly throwing fire at each other.
And other than you not actually phrasing your, I guess.
You just totally.
I'm not sure what I wanted to say.
You just botched it.
Because you never phrase them into actual phrases that you can say true or false to, okay, or fine. By yourself.
I only go true never... or false statements this time. That's cool.
Normally you go with this whole 3-minute preface, and then you pose an open-ended question, and then expect me to say touchdown or danger.
Hashtag
and
I'm like, journalism. I'm kidding.
Hardly.
Yeah. I mean, we went to see some. We would know.
Okay, so Reuben Foster, there's already rumors that he could be out for the entire season because of shoulder problems.
Which reminds me, didn't I say all Alabama linebackers and players are cursed with shoulder injuries? I said that, right? Okay, cool. Just checking. It's in the archives. I said that for years.
So Reuben Foster will make one Pro Bowl in his career, touchdown or turnover.
Interesting. Well, gonna say turnover. He won't be the best player on that defense. And he won't benefit. I think Solomon Thomas will be the best player on that defense. Frontline players, Jimmy Ward will be pretty good. Eric Reed. Those guys will make that defense better. He will just be a guy who can go out and make plays, but he'll be recognized as someone who isn't really a playmaker.
That's fine. That's all they really need him to do. They have enough playmakers on that defense.
And you have Bowen, but I'm like, are they going to switch to a 4-3? I don't think they're switching. I don't think they're going to stay in a 3-4.
I don't think so either. I think especially the rumors are they're supposed to go to a 4-3.
You draft two massive defensive ends, both from Oregon, back-to-back years, and then you draft Solomon Thomas. Well, one of those three guys has to play D-tackle. And only one of them is actually fast enough to be an edge rusher. Armstead is more of an inside guy, but he's big as hell. You have Bowman, you have Foster. Bowman might kick out the outside linebacker, so you're just going to leave a rookie middle linebacker because Foster can't play outside linebacker.
He could play Will. He can chase.
His coverage is a waste.
He could come off on third down.
Yeah, but then why have him on the field, period?
Because he can read, react, and chase.
But he doesn't have the ball skills. If you're gonna have,
but that's what I'm saying. You pull him off on third down in passing situations.
But I'm saying no. You pull him off. You have to pull Myra Brooks off. Remember, he's one of the starters too. See how confusing that gets now.
But I think you play Myra Brooks as Sam.
Even though he's not fast enough.
Well, because you're just gonna use him as a blitzer.
He was hid.
Use him as a blitzer.
Yeah, but then it's too easy.
And then you have Bowman and Foster. Essentially, two middle linebackers ranging the rest of the field.
But I'm saying that's a lot of...
Splitting the field.
That's what Arizona has the luxury of doing because they have guys who are just fast and athletic and can hit all over the field. They have the speed to counteract that. But San Francisco's defense is not fast. They want to be tough and hit hard. That's why they got two guys there and three edge rushers, or three guys who can rush the passer and be stout. They want to stop the run first in San Francisco. Because if you've seen that offense, they're not necessarily gangbusters offensively. So,
All right.
I don't see how he's going to be like this Pro Bowl elite player. It's not going to happen.
All right, well, let's move on. We spent a lot of time on this last week.
I don't get one.
You can go next.
You just went.
You can go next. Anyways. All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Are you going to phrase it as an actual phrase that I can either agree or disagree with?
Shut your mouth, first off.
Okay. The suspense.
Speaking of the Arizona Cardinals, this is why we need a drum option on there. But speaking of the Arizona Cardinals, they drafted Hassan Reddick and Buda Baker. That defense is officially a Madden cheat code. Real question is, Who will be the best rookie on that Arizona Cardinals defense? Oh, no, no. Damn, that's a question. I messed up. Buda Baker will be the best player. No, the best rookie on that Arizona defense. Not Hassan Riddick. Touchdown or turnover.
I'm going to say this is a touchdown only because Buda Baker comes from a more ready. More pro-ready defense in Washington. Not just that, but he plays a position that's a little bit easier to transition into. And then he also has the versatility to play nickel corner and safety, basically in the Tyrone Mathieu role, which which makes him the perfect complement to the Honey Badger.
And he's bigger and faster than him.
Yeah.
And stronger.
So basically, he's really good. And not just that, but Arizona lost two of their starting safeties last year, so there's definitely a role open for him.
But Jefferson, he's arguably already better than Tony Jefferson, who went undrafted.
Which, as far as Reddick is concerned, I think he's a good player too. I think they're going to use him all over the defense. I just think he's going to have a little bit more of an adjustment period because he is moving from essentially a defensive end to either a stand-up end or middle linebacker. So it's going to take time for him to really get a feel for that. I think maybe in 5-10 years, we might look back and say, hey, Reddick is the better player when it's all said and done. But as far as rookie, Buda Baker is definitely going to be a bigger impact rookie year one.
Because I feel like, and I know Darrell Washington is a free agent, but I think the Cardinals still own his rights to an extent. I'm not sure. But if you look at Marcus Golden had, like, I think, 11 sacks. He came out of Missouri, which apparently is D-line, edge rusher, you. So you have him on one side. You have Chandler Jones on the other. You have Deion Buchanan, who's really an outside linebacker. He's Adrian Wilson 2.0. He's played middle linebacker. And then you have Riddick. They're both equally as fast. Actually, no. Buchanan ran like a 4.9. But, like, you have those guys. They even got a corner. They re-upped in this draft on defense. Like, it's almost going to be like,
so if you credit to Kenan, it
more to, like, if you're, because if I had to guess, I'm going to say Riddick, just because he's going to be able to stop the run. He's going to do the work that,
which means it is a,
it's a touchdown.
Turnover. Because you said Buda Baker would be the best rookie.
Turnover, but I'm saying,
God, you suck at this game.
No, I don't.
This is literally the easiest game ever, and you're the worst at it.
Not really. I just posed a really great question. I'm just saying, it'll be interesting. I really want to see what happens with Arizona's defense. Because there's so many moving parts, and there's no real commitment to a position for guys. They just pretty much want to have as many DBs and hard-hitting dudes on the field as possible. They have, like, it's mainly just a mission of pass rushers, guys who can cover, and Patrick Peterson.
All right, so to my question, as I alluded to before, we spent a lot of time on this subject. We might have yelled and screamed in your ear a little bit. Anyways, I don't want to do any of that this week. I just want to say this. Touchdown or turnover? In 5 seasons,
oh God,
we will forget about Gerrion Clowney's rape allegation.
Conley. See, I don't feel like it's enough information to know. But in 5 years, especially with the fact they drafted Obi in the second round, and that's clutch. I'm going to say touchdown, meaning they forget about it.
So,
that was a question?
Essentially, what you're saying is he's a good enough player where 5 years from now,
no, we're going to forget about it. Good or bad, we'll forget about it. Because it's sports, and if Big Ben can beat 3 rape charges, and then teams will just forget about it. They forget about it. They'll forget about Joe Mixon. Until they'll let it go by. Let's Joe Mixon have a great year. That leads me to my next one. Touchdown or turnover. Joe Mixon will be the number one running back for the Cincinnati Bengals by midseason. By midseason. Because Jeremy Hill and Gio Bernard, I think Gio Bernard's the odd man out, but...
There's a lot of people that disagree with you. Saying Jeremy Hill is the odd man out because Joe Mixon is essentially Jeremy Hill, but faster and better.
With Gio Bernard's skill set, but better.
He's basically like the mix between the two.
But better.
Yeah, so...
And one has injury problems and one was a Pro Bowler. Think about that.
They both actually have injury problems if you really think about it.
But one was a Pro Bowler and one wasn't.
I'm going to say this is a touchdown because Marvin Lewis has proven that he will play the best players regardless of draft status, regardless of character concerns, regardless of all that, he's going to play the best players. And I think that's the same thing here. Joe Mixon is probably the most talented, has the most upside, and he's going to be the starter when it's all said and done. Your take.
I say touchdown, but I think he'll win. He'll break even to a 50-50 split by the second or third game of the season. I think Gio Bernard's going to get phased out or traded. They'll keep him, but he's not going to. His time with that team is over once they drafted Mixon. Because essentially, you're not taking Mixon off the field for Gio Bernard. Unless Mixon is terrible at pass blocking, which he isn't. He's great at pass blocking. And he can do everything that Gio Bernard can do, but he's faster than Gio Bernard.
Okay, real quick before we take it out, who's your rookie of the year?
That's a good one. My rookie of the year, offense or defense?
Either, both.
Gonna go to Deshaun Watson.
Took it right out of my back pocket. What's new?
I was going to pick Joe Mixon, but I'm like, it's a quarterback award. Because Zeke was the rookie of the year. But who got it? Dak.
Well, since you already took my pick, I'm gonna go out of right field on you.
Okay.
Ready for this one?
Don't say Joshua Dobbs, because I'll slap you.
I'm going to say Mike Williams, and here's why. Number one, he has a Pro Bowl quarterback. Number two, they actually have a slew of receivers that really complement him perfectly. When you're talking about Keenan Allen and then...
Tyreek Williams.
Tyreek Williams are two big receivers who actually can stretch the field. And then you also got Benjamin in the slot, who's a good slot receiver. So pretty much they can put Mike Williams in the best positions to succeed. As long as he comes out and does his work, as many people expect, his route tree is a lot better than, let's say, Laquon Treadwell. So he should actually be a starter.
It's funny because Treadwell was praised for his route running.
Yeah, but there was also questions about his speed.
There's no question. We know he's slow.
Exactly. With Mike Williams, he answered the question about the speed. That's why he went top 10 and not top 20. And that's the biggest difference. It's like, yeah, it's one thing to, okay, does he run routes? But there's another thing to say, okay, does he run routes and does he run them at full speed and with great body control? So, I mean, I'm not going to front. I was high on Treadwell, but the biggest thing is he fell out of favor with the coaches and he couldn't get on the field. He wasn't able to separate himself enough. And then when you add that on top of his inefficiencies as a player, it was really just easier for them not to play him. I mean, just look at Cordell Patterson. Anyways, let's close it out real quick. Kenneth, you want me to go first since you went first last week and you were all salty about it?
Well, like you're repeating yourself, but yeah, go first. I don't care.
There he goes, throwing shade again.
No, those are facts. Go first.
Are you sure you're not going to interrupt me this time?
I'm not going to say anything.
Okay, so this is the Touchdown Tangents podcast. These are our 1-minute rants, and here's mine. So I had the privilege of celebrating my 25th birthday this past weekend. For a lot of people, they really can't say that, sadly, because there's a lot of us that don't make it to 25. And that's why I'm just happy to be in the position that I'm at. As much as I kind of get on myself about my failures as well as my successes, I kind of just think, what if I were a pro player who didn't get drafted? What if I had kids to support at 23 years old and my profession just completely didn't accept me? There was nothing I could do about it. How would I feel? What would I do? And yet here I am at 25, able to celebrate life with my best friends and turn up and live life and share my opinion and talk on this podcast and work and have benefits and all that nonsense. And it's just a good feeling to know, like, hey, as much as I get on myself for where I could be or maybe even where I should be, I'm actually in a good spot right now. So that's all I want to say. More life. Damn. I decided. Future.
Are you done?
Yeah.
That was corny as fuck, bro. You didn't even need that last 10 seconds.
I really didn't need to drop all my favorite albums of 2016 to 17.
You really didn't. I'm surprised you didn't throw in a Wale reference. The gift is life. The gift is more life.
Actually, Shine.
I didn't mimic you better than you.
You mean Shine.
No, like the gifted.
I mean. No, I got it, but I was referencing Shine since that just came out like last week. Shout out to Wale. Go ahead.
Okay, now that I'm... Alright. So, I'm going to touch on a similar topic.
Of course, he always does. Every time he goes second, it takes my bit. But go ahead.
Nah. It's, I saw some things in the news over the past couple days. One of which, Alton Sterling, the cops who pretty much murdered Alton Sterling, are going to go free, which is unfortunate. But sadly, as a black male, I've just come to accept the fact that they're exterminating us just because they can.
You can't give us AIDS anymore.
Really?
Or crack?
Shut up, Al Capone. Okay? Be quiet. Just be quiet. Anyway, when I saw the young kid who was on his way home from a party and was essentially murdered by the police, Jordan Edwards.
Shout out to Jay Adonde for bringing that out and around the horn.
But could you ahead. Shut up?
Sorry. You're taking forever.
No, I'm not. I just really want people to understand, like, you can't really have justice. You can't really scream all this, we want peace, we live in a pro-racial America and all this other stuff, when black kids are just being slaughtered and murdered by the police. And the only thing someone, like, the mother has to come out and say, he was a good kid, he was an honor student. Like, white kid, the parents of white kids don't have to say that. But anytime it's a black child or a Latino child, they just assume the kid is guilty. And I think that's really disgusting. And also, I think you guys should watch Dear White People on Netflix. For a lot of people who this doesn't affect, this is why you should watch it. Because you just don't understand racial relations, or maybe you don't care. But it's all good until war breaks out and someone's at your house with a gun, trying to take out your whole family. But what I'm really trying to say is, I'm going to wrap this up. Put yourself in the shoes and experience of someone else, even if you don't agree with them. Even if you think you have nothing in common, just know at the end of the day, and this is an Immortal Technique line, a cockroach can live for 3 days without his head, but you can't. So just remember that we are human, and if you're going to talk about human rights and equality and diversity, just remember you should probably point out all the injustices and lack of diversity and equity that has been dealt to African-American people in this country and throughout the world and other oppressed groups of people. And just acknowledge that and try to work towards being better. Because if you're not, you're really just a culture vulture.
All right. And on that note, this is the Touchdowns and Tangents podcast.
And we're going to the Future concert on June 16th.
You can catch us there. You can also catch us next week at 8-ish.
This Molly Percocet.
You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, like us on SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes Music Store.
Facebook, where we have all the archives.
Speaker is always live. And this is us signing off from Pluto. Peace.
Peace.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.